listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Summer, when everything was perfect and green, we used to chill and relax, and maybe smoke a fast stack while we laugh about the past. But that's too vast to express how much I love you and all the selfish things you put me through. Well, who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity, floating in the golden lotus. That's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your words.
How you guys doing today? This is Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com. We are sending you love and light to start off the show. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything that is on your mind to raise your vibration. And we have a very, very special show ahead of us today. What a blessing, to say the least. Absolutely, to say the least. We have the wonderful, the amazing, the enlightened Sean Randall, channeler of Torah. And if you guys have definitely heard her before on what was once Teen Trends. Also, you can check her out on the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11. And I got the opportunity of once again bringing her into the studio. Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just great, thanks. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You know, Sean, no, thank you for having me. And to guys, today is going to be a great show. We posted a bunch of information about it on the Dave's Good Vibration Station Facebook, which you can check out at facebook.com. And in the search engine, just Dave's Good Vibration Station, we let you know that we were going to be talking about crop circles today. What an interesting topic.
The greatest mystery in our world today.
Absolutely. The greatest mystery in our world today. And just to give listeners a little information on Sean's history with crop circles, she has been studying them for years now.
20.
So for 20 years.
First crop circle I ever entered into was in 1992.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is.
That is absolutely amazing. She wrote a thesis on it. She's done workshops on crop circles as well. And we have the opportunity enough to have her in the studio with us today, telling us the truth behind crop circles, which is a very bold statement, but yet a very honest one.
The truth as we know it so far.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's always room for expansion, always room for new information when it comes to anything and everything, but especially crop circles.
And mysteries.
Yes.
Mysteries are never completely solved.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Sean, just to, you know, just to inform the listeners a little bit about just who you are, you know, Sean Randall is a metaphysical author and teacher of personal and spiritual development who has been experiencing the crop circles, like she said, since 1992. Just let everybody know that's the year that I was born. So my entire life, she has been studying crop circles, which I think is fascinating. I think it's funny.
It is. I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking that, you know, your life has included crop circles from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that's a new generation of thought, you know, because certainly during that 20 years, the idea that the mystery could be real has been out there.
Right.
So this is a kind of a new generation to see that the impact of these amazing formations has been going for so long, and what will that fruits, you know, what will evolve out of that in the coming years, 5 years, 10 years, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What once the seeds are planted, what will be grown from them, you know? Sean has also led small groups into crop circle formations, utilizing their beauty and mystery for in-depth personal transformation. She is a student of the interactive nature of the crop circle phenomenon pertaining to human consciousness and its relationship to transcendent realms engaged with crop circles. She believes the interdimensional aspect of the crop circle phenomenon is bridged humanity into a future of conscious co-creation and will inevitably assist the evolution of consciousness on our planet. Yes.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But it is so. I do believe it is so. And the years are sort of unfolding to show us that. Because one of the things that Jean-Michel brought out, a wonderful scholar from years ago, is that we study often the motivation behind something by looking at the effects that that thing has. So the phenomenon of crop circle, we look at the effects it's had on humans, and that from that we can derive that this is part of the purpose.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Totally. Oh, this is so exciting. This is such a wonderful experience. So we're going to kick this off. I want to say first off, if anybody would like to call in live on the air, you can do so 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. You can also email me live. That's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Just like the show, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. I will get a live feed of your emails and just quite possibly read them off on the air. So, Sean, everybody wants to know, you know, we know a little bit about you now, and we know why we're here. What, this is going to be a silly question, for listeners out there, what is a crop circle?
A crop circle is a design that is impressed or pressed into the fields, usually fields of wheat, barley, or canola.
Right.
Globally.
Okay.
All over the world. Even they've had one in South Korea.
Wow.
The preponderance of them are in fields in England, and these designs have a tremendous mathematical significance. They are artistically magnificent, and there's been no physical observation of them being made. There have been observations of them being made, but all that the eyewitnesses have seen is the wheat going down and wind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's very interesting. And
to say the least.
Yes. Yeah. Very interesting to say at least.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So they are laid or impressed in these fields.
Okay. Right, absolutely. And guys, just to let you know, we have a few surprises for you on the air later in the show. Sean is going to be showing me a few pictures, and I'm going to be describing them to you. You can use your imagination. Let me be your guide, and use your imagination. And we're also going to be kind of just giving you a visualization, allowing you the opportunity to really comprehend what I'm explaining to you in your interpretation, and then get a feel for that.
Kind of visualize it in your mind if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sean, what has led you for the past 20 years to pursue this fascination with crop circles?
Well, for one thing, I'm a trans-channel, so I'm used to phenomena.
Right.
I'm used to being through, as you know, Torah, who will probably be here later in the show.
Yes.
And so any kind of cross-dimensional phenomena has been a fascination for me. And crop circles seem to be something so tangible. You can step in them, you can walk in them, you can see the bends of the wheat. And the fact that the mystery was so vast and that the people studying them are so well informed, so curious, and so willing to allow the mystery to unfold that it drew me in. The magic of them, the beauty of them, and also, I have to say, the consciousness of the circle makers themselves, the authors of this extraordinary artistic phenomena. it sort of calls to me. I sort of felt some kind of a connection. I had a very synchronistic thing happen when I first went to England. The very first time, the first summer I was going to go into one, I was very jet lagged, and I arrived in London and I was in a jazz club listening to Mel Torme.
Very nice.
And I closed my eyes. I was just out of it, and I started drawing this design in my that was in my mind on the napkin.
Okay.
And I was compelled to draw it, sort of like the man at the Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
You have to make that mountain and you know.
Right.
So it turned out that 2 days later I had my opportunity to be in my first crop circle.
Okay.
And I was sitting in the crop circle looking around, and I realized that that was the design I had drawn 2 nights before. And it kind of literally freaked me out, Dave.
Right.
It literally freaked me out. I had chills all over, and I went, whoa, what does that mean? And all I could think that it meant was that somehow, some way, I was to be involved with the phenomena. I was supposed to study it, that there was some collective interconnectedness that I was experiencing. Why would I get that image in my mind 2 days before it happened?
It happened, right. Mm.
So, you know, that's what really pulled me in.
Right, absolutely. And just out of curiosity, is there was there any specific energetic connection with that certain shape, with that certain crop circle? Was there any deeper meaning to that specific one?
Well, the specific one, it turned out to be like a yin-yang symbol.
Okay.
So there's a lot of meaning to the classic yin-yang symbol, which is the balance of the masculine and feminine, the archetypes of the duality that we live in our physical reality.
Right.
And so that had a lot of meaning. I also had an odd experience that while I was sitting in that crop circle meditating, I heard a really loud noise. And I looked around, and all I could see was fields and hills. There was nothing around.
Right.
Very loud noise. And my fear started kicking in, because I'd never been in a crop circle. I didn't know who made them. And suddenly I thought, whoa, what if a huge mothership appears for me and takes me up right now? You know, I was like, whoa, what's going on? This huge noise. And I thought, wait a minute, I have to integrate this fear. I have to deal with this myself. There's no one here to help me. So I went into a meditative place, and I, well, basically called in my own higher self and higher wisdom and said, there's nothing to fear.
Right.
I am a co-creator with my whole reality, and I'm creating that. I'm one with all, and therefore, the minute my fear stopped, the sound went off.
Wow.
The minute it went off. And I was talking to another researcher not long after that I met, and I told that story, and he said that the exact same thing had happened to him.
Really?
Yeah. So that's very interesting, isn't it?
That is really interesting.
So there's something very huge in consciousness that's going on, that's part of the phenomena, all around the phenomena, and intricately involved with the phenomena.
Right. Now, was Torah present with you when your fear had overtaken you?
No,
for a
my
moment?
Fear overtook me.
Yes.
I was there on my own. You figured it out.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, you got it's your fear.
Right.
It's your responsibility.
Right. Wow. That would have been that would have been one for the ages if a mothership just started to hover over. And,
the truth be known, if you're in a crop circle, the only thing you have to fear is an angry farmer.
Yeah.
He's going to yell at you and scream at you, get out of my field.
Yeah, that's funny. Wow, that's funny. So, Sean, what, through your studies, what to you is the creator of crop circles? What is the spark of just what creates a crop circle? What, you know, obvious, please.
It's one thing that's clear from the formations themselves, how and when they appear, and the amazing geometry, the amazing wisdom that's encoded in them, is that there is an intelligence behind them that is far beyond our human intelligence and includes our human intelligence.
Right.
So that things that we have learned that are in our collective consciousness, things like fractals and the Mandelbrot set and squaring the circle and major principles also in physics, that are included in crop circles that are human conscious, but then they go one step beyond and they make it more complex. They'll reference things now in quantum physics. There are interference patterns that are shown once a year, things of this nature. So we know that there is an extraordinary intelligence. To nail it down and say who it is, where it is, and why, it does it a disservice, because it's a universal intelligence that's so vast and a part of, I believe, part of a collective that includes us.
Right.
And to say it's just one form of ET or something like that is not fair. But it's clear that there is a technology involved in the manufacturing of a crop circle that is beyond what we know. Lights have been seen around formations. I mentioned that people saw when wind made the formations.
Right.
Big,
right.
large flashes of light. So there is some mechanical aspect to it.
Right.
But
right.
the consciousness aspect, Dave, is really where I'm focused and where it seems to be going and showing itself over the years.
Right.
For
Absolutely.
Example, people can meditate on a design and that will show up as a crop circle. So there's an interactive level. I have a whole chapter on my thesis just on that phenomenon alone, with examples from people who meditated, what they meditated on, and then the picture of what arrived.
Right.
And this is an area of my research that I find fascinating. I'm hoping to do a book on it someday, the interactive, in a sense, the proof that consciousness of human is sending out an invitation. We are inviting something, and in the bigger picture, macrocosmically, we're inviting an expansion of consciousness on our planet.
Absolutely.
There is a part of us that is ready for that.
Absolutely.
This is part of 2012. It's part of where we're going.
Right.
So crop circles are really a part of that.
Right.
And ultimately, that leads us toward the idea of co-creating with unseen forces and unknown consciousnesses, just like our own unconscious mind is unknown to us.
Right.
It's unfathomable. We can't even begin to grasp what's in our unconscious.
Exactly.
And so this is something that kind of invites us to go further into these mysteries.
Okay. That's amazing. Totally. I love it. Now, here's a question that I was thinking about. And, you know, we've all heard of in layman's term, the good aliens and the bad aliens, right?
Right.
You know, we've heard of certain visitations, you know, of really, really positive and enlightening beings that will come down and, you know, just only give us love. Right. And then we've also heard of other stories of extraterrestrial entities coming down and being very negative and trying to overpower certain aspects of the human consciousness. And my question for you is, do you think that some crop circles out there could be, should we be afraid of some of the signs?
No.
Well, never be fearful.
The crop circles have never, ever evidenced anything that was harmful to human beings.
Okay.
Or animals.
Okay.
Accidentally, a couple animals have been flattened in crop circles twice in the years and years and years. So that's an accident. But no, there's never been any. Only a sense of caring and beauty and consideration has been shown in the placement of crop circles, the design of crop circles. So there's been no evidence whatsoever. And the effects have all been positive. The only thing negative that's come out of it is what has come from human consciousness.
Right.
The hoaxers and the bickering. The bickering and the competition among some of the authors and researchers. You know, that's all human stuff.
Right.
But the circle makers don't really have anything to do with that. So, the other thing about the terms positive and negative, I think the terms positive and negative denies the complexity of, you know, who we are as humans, because one person's positive is another person's negative.
Absolutely.
But the crop circles have maintained this elegance and beauty and caring, as I said, that seems to transcend the idea of positive and negative, that's for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
A higher perspective.
A higher perspective where it's almost as if it's the humans that make their own perception of it, right? It's the humans that are going to, you know, we could have one of the most phenomenal geometrical designs, you know, given to us by a crop circle that we would look at, and we could look at that and be fearful and be like, oh, that's very scary, you know, or, you know, take another individual and they could look at that and be like, no, there's some very key information within these patterns in the mathematics.
So here, if I may, here is a poster of a huge formation that some people might find scary because of its enormity.
Wow.
And this is what was called the galaxy, and it was in 2001. It appeared over 5 acres in land. So it was undulating land. It wasn't flat. And it appeared in pouring rain like we're having today in Los Angeles.
Right.
Over a 3-hour period in the pitch dark. And there was somebody at the edge of the field who saw nothing. Now, the enormity, there's 409 circles in what you're looking at, Dave. 409 circles.
Wow.
And it looks like a galaxy.
Yes.
And an architect looked to figure out what would it take for human beings to survey that, and they said it would take 100 people a month to survey where to put those circles, and it would take at least the same amount of people at least 2 weeks to make it.
Wow.
But it happened in 2 hours in the pouring rain.
Wow. Listeners, just to let you know what I'm looking at, and as a matter of fact, Sean, I've seen this this crop circle before. I think it may be even on Google.
It's very well known.
Yeah, definitely one of the more seen crop circles. But listeners, just to let you know what I'm looking at right now, there's a very large circle in the center, but the circle in the center is just about as big as... where do I even start?
Yeah. Look at the size of the car.
Right.
I can see that car.
Right.
It's
okay.
Like a
little
ant.
There's three cars. There's a little road next to, you know, this vast field. There's a little road, and then there's three cars on that road, and the cars look like ants compared to, literally they look like ants compared to the size of this crop circle. And what it looks like, there's actually a few people standing close to the center of the crop circle, and they look like half an ant. You can barely even make out that that's a person. Listeners, I want you guys to know this is huge.
There's a very, very good...
Oh my gosh.
There's a good crop circle documentary out that's new, fairly recent, called What on Earth?
Okay.
And there's a shot of that crop circle from a zoomed in position from the center, and the camera pulls back up, zooms out, and you see the enormity unfolding before you, and you see this helicopter, the silhouette of the helicopter that the cameraman is shooting from, dwarfed as it zooms back. It's an amazing thing.
I
highly recommend that documentary, What on Earth?
Absolutely.
Not just because I was in it, but...
There you go. That's really cool, Sean. Hey, we actually have a caller on the air. We're going to take
That's
this real
great.
Quick. How you doing? You are live on the air with Dave's Good Vibration Station. You're talking with Sean Randall. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, Dave. My name is Nancy Beverly, and I'm actually a close personal friend of Sean's.
Oh, well, hey, Nancy. How are you today?
Hi,
I'm fantastic, and I'm going to go to the crop circles this summer with Sean.
No way.
And this is a lifelong, not a lifelong dream, but it's a many-year dream that's culminating this summer. And my question to Sean is, can you give the audience some insights into how the crop circles have changed your life on a personal level, realizations that you've had after having these experiences?
Thank you. That's a wonderful question.
That is a wonderful question. Absolutely.
It's so deeply ingrained. I mean, intellectually, I can say, wow, it expanded my horizons. I never cared about fractals and squaring the circle and some of the things that are in crop circles before. So it opened me up to more of the magic of number. But more than that, there are times, Nancy, where I've spent, you know, just time being in a crop circle in the silence and feeling something I've never felt before, a vast, vast oneness with the one, if you can say that. Right. Words just really fail. But that feeling of being connected to a huge, much greater consciousness is something that you... there's nothing like feeling it the way you feel it in a crop circle. And how exciting. You're going to get to feel it yourself. I mean, you can imagine it when we're in meditation, but when you're actually in the crop circle, you know, for example, there was one crop circle I was in the 90s that I was the very first one in it. That that's rare these days because of the internet. But I stood at the edge of it for a long time. And before I stepped into it, I realized that the very last intelligence that had been present there just prior to me was the Circle Makers.
Right.
And it was an overwhelming feeling of being embraced and connected to something so great, so big. Right. And it's not terribly dissimilar from the kinds of feelings people get with the awe and wonder of nature, like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, for example.
Exactly.
That awe and that wonder. And I think it's just, that's one thing it's brought, is that the awe and the wonder and the oneness that comes with that feeling that I've never gotten anyplace else, quite the way it happens in a crop circle.
Right.
And that's expanding. It's very life expanding, life enhancing. And
that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Nancy?
Yes.
I have a question. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you had the opportunity of being in a crop circle or by a crop circle?
No, I haven't. What I have are have books, DVDs.
Right.
I have my welcome mat has a crop circle on it.
Oh, that's very cool. That's so awesome.
Greeting cards with crop circles on. So like I said, I've been fascinated with this for years.
Right.
And I'm over the moon that I'm going to see them for real.
That is
so
cool.
She's a croppy in the making.
Yeah.
She's a croppy.
That's amazing. And Sean, I have a question for you that just popped into my head. Do you think, because when you said, you know, you approach the edge of this crop circle and that feeling, that overwhelming feeling of the last intelligence here present was the Circle Makers. Do you think that if one were to come to a crop circle, let's say a few minutes, you know, after the Circle Makers had made the crop circle, do you think that there's some sort of almost energetic trail that they leave? And something that if you, you know, as a human being, you would walk into this crop circle and you would feel this, you'd feel this energetic trail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's subtle, but you know, it's, have you ever walked into a room where there's just been a big party, but nobody's there anymore?
Yes.
And that party vibe is still there in the air. You can just sort of feel the crazy chaos of it.
Absolutely.
It's got that kind of subtlety. Yeah, I felt it. And it was so enormous and so caring and so, you know, it's beyond description.
Right.
Beyond description. But I felt a gratitude. I teared up, you know. It was a peak experience.
Right. Right.
No question.
Absolutely.
No question.
Nancy?
Yes.
Would you like to add anything else to our...
I have one more question that actually I just thought of, I kind of know the answer to, but I think listeners would find enlightening.
Yes, please.
Sean, could you talk about why the phenomena shows up in England so much as opposed to other places? And I know they have shown up in the U.S., but they really show up a lot in England. Can you talk about that?
Sure. There seem to be a lot of reasons. We can't know for sure, but a few of them I'll name. One is that the aquifers are plentiful in England, and aquifers are water under the ground, and it seems that crop circles use water in some way, drawing it, like a drawing up process through the stalks, that is similar to hair. When hair is wet, it's easier to manipulate.
Okay.
So the aquifers seem to be a factor, but my interest in crop circles has been so much related to consciousness, and the way I look at it is that consciousness is an attractor, and the people in England were taken by the phenomena and very attracted to researching it, studying it. There were some very sharp minds in the beginning of the 90s and end of the 80s that said, whoa, we've got to explore this. Right. And because the people cared, I think that there was a response to that from the circle makers. Oh, right. They really care. We're going to show up. And I've seen that theory play out now in other countries. For example, Italy. There are more crop circles now in Italy than ever, and the researchers started taking it very seriously in the 90s. And once the researchers and the public in Italy was on board, circles started to appear.
Okay.
So there seems to be a correlation of caring consciousness and the arrival of crop circles in different countries.
Right. Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Yeah, that is totally awesome.
That consciousness connection just seems undeniable.
Yeah, it does. It does. And another theory that, you know, I've always believed in, you know, the very basic.
One more thing, please. There are a lot of fields in England.
Yeah, okay.
There's more fields and there's more hills from which the crop circles can be seen. So that tells us that circle makers want the crop circles to be seen. And for example, flat places where there are no hills and it's unlikely that a circle would be noticed or seen, there tend to be less in those locations, in those countries.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to have the palette, the canvas.
Yeah.
You have to have the canvas of the fields.
Right, absolutely. Nancy?
Yeah.
Okay, would you like to add anything else to the vibration station? That's it.
Thank you so much. It was great to meet you, Dave, and great to talk to you, Sean.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Nancy. We love your call.
Okay, take care.
Have a wonderful Sunday. Bye bye. Mm-hmm.
So I have a piece of magic with me, Dave.
Oh, yes.
I have a piece of magic.
I'm so okay. Can you explain? Please explain to the listeners.
I will. I have with me a piece of something from a crop circle that I plucked out and saved, and it has what we call a magic bend, and that is that the stalk at the bottom of it is bent, not broken. This is a large example. It's from, I'm going to hand it over
to you. I'm so excited. Wow.
See the roots there? And you can see a 45 degree angle.
You actually see
it. Look at that.
May I touch this?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Okay.
This is from a crop that is what they call oilseed rape. We call it canola.
Okay.
And it was a remarkable formation that had encoded in it a formula, a mathematical formula. And that's a very big story. But that I pulled out and saved it. Just don't tell the customs people.
Yeah.
You know, I mailed it to myself actually here.
Really? Really?
And isn't that an amazing piece?
Okay, listeners, there's actually a 45 degree angle from where the root to come out of the ground. It all of a sudden goes to a 45 degree angle. Just
sharp
45 degree angle. It's as you could put a box. If you put a line connecting from the root to where it comes out of the ground, you know, if you were to put another 45 degree angle, you'd have a box. That's amazing.
So it's bent, not broken.
It is bent, not broken.
That's one of the key phrases about crop circles is that many times at the roots of the stalk or down by the roots,
right,
we see this 45 degree bent but not broken.
And what is that specifically? What is that? What's
part of the mystery? How do they press them down?
Right.
You know, how do the designs get pressed down? Right. And there's some kind of microwave possibly or heating element that seems to be involved. And the researchers, the scientists that have looked at that have felt that there's some sort of heat.
Right.
And moisture involved in the bending of the stalks.
Right. Do you think that it could be just pure energy? You know, just like a pure form of, because you know, if you take your hands and you put them together and you close your eyes and you imagine, you know, pumping energy throughout your body, you actually start to feel, you know, a jello-y kind of like electric kind of jello-y malleable physical thing that you're feeling, but you look down, and if you look hard enough, you can start to see little, like, you know.
Yeah, your energy field.
Exactly, your energy field. So do you think that, you know, if you can feel that, you know, as a human on a very physical level, if you can generate energy and actually tangibly touch that and feel that, do you think that beings from, you know, a higher consciousness or a higher understanding of the universe in which we live, that they could almost
do it with their minds.
Do it with their minds. There you go.
Well, why not, Dave? I mean, yeah, you're really sort of imagining your way into something that we don't know about.
Right.
But this imagining that you're doing right now is really part of what the phenomena is. This is the effects on people. It's
right.
Getting us to think about things that we would never ordinarily think about.
Right.
And there is a consciousness factor when you look at the designs of how beautiful they are, too.
They really are.
It takes the imaginings.
They really are beautiful. Yeah,
great,
please go on. Yeah.
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 So there is energy that's consciousness itself. I believe that. I have no proof of that. I can't say anything except observation, objective observation over the years.
Right.
And again, groups that have meditated on designs and then they show up in the fields as a crop circle.
That's
pretty exciting.
Right.
It's saying our consciousness is somehow part of it.
Connected, right. Now, what I would even go as far to say that, you know, you've heard of the study done where, I believe it was in Washington, D.C., where the a group of individuals came together and they talked to the head of police, the chief of police in Washington, and they said, you know, we're going to try an experiment. We're going to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And your crime rate will go down 30% by this date.
Well, they didn't predict it.
Okay.
They explored experiment. It was the Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi.
Right, right.
And it was his meditation center in Washington, D.C. And they meditated, I think, all weekend.
Okay.
And very, very concentratedly. And they wanted to see what would be the impact.
Okay.
And the crime rate did go down 25%.
Was it 25?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. And I do recall reading in that study, the chief of police was like, no.
Yeah.
He goes, this is,
that
no.
Can't happen.
It's like,
that can't be.
What did he say? The only way that crime rate will go down is if a blizzard comes in. He said, I think he said something along those lines. But it's under the same laws, if you will, mm-hmm. where, you know, people come together and they get a collective intention, and through that collective intention, it therefore manifests.
Exactly.
But they, you know, I don't think that they specifically, you know, sitting in this group of people that were meditating for the crime rate to go down or setting an intention for the crime rate to go down, they're not, you know, putting specific people, specific individuals in their head that would commit these crimes and sending them, you know, it's sending a collective.
You know, you are touching on something very profound here.
Okay.
Because that is so much a part of the whole crop circle phenomena.
Right.
Is the collective intention of people and the circle makers. Right. And where that coalesces.
Right.
Where that comes together.
Where it meets. Right. That's my question. Meets in a crop circle. There you go.
Groups,
now,
the meditation, the intention. Very important. And so what's the big intention? A lot of the people attracted to crop circles are well-intended about the future and the sustainability of our planet.
Okay.
So we see this as another very important theme.
Right, right. Actually, it was about a year and a half ago. This is just a personal story which ties in. About a year and a half ago, a buddy of mine and myself, we were looking at crop circles and stuff. We, you know, it's always fun. We've always just kind of like been into, you know, metaphysics and just exploring different aspects of other realms. And, you know, crop circles are one of the first ones, you know. And so we're looking.
You grew up with them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we actually came across this crop circle, which, you know, there was absolutely no description below it that said, this means this, you know, they're not going to have
interpretations.
That. Right. Only interpretations. Exactly. And, the buddy that I was with, he showed me these symbols and like these different lines and the way that they were aligned and the geometry behind it and everything. And he was saying, like, look at this, like, and it actually, when he described it to me and he saw it, he said that, to him, it was the shift of consciousness that we are experiencing right now. This huge, you know, this huge shift from, you know, 3 to 4 and whatnot. And it actually, what it was, it looked like our solar system, in like one little part of the crop circle. And then it looked like, almost a line in between, not our solar system, our galaxy. It looked like our galaxy. And then it looked like a line. And then like another galaxy with like where planet Earth would be. Like there was a little, like it was kind of magnified, like where planet Earth would be, and I don't know how to explain it.
Oh,
but
I
it's
wish
like,
I knew which crop circle you're talking about.
I know
about.
It was so cool though, and he was like, no, look, he's like, this is like the paradigm.
There is a crop circle. You might be talking about one in 2009 that depicted the orbits,
okay,
and the locations of the planets in our solar system. And specifically in the configuration that we will find on December 21st, 2012.
I think that's the one.
Was really an amazing, amazing thing. Even to the extent that the Pluto orbit that was shown in that crop circle was slightly askew, which it is.
Right.
And so very interesting crop circle, something pointing to December 21st, 2012.
Right.
So you can say, okay, that's an interpretation, but what do you make from that? What do you spin off from there? And from there, we get into a lot of subjective projections.
Absolutely.
That people put onto these things.
Absolutely.
But that what's good about that is it's getting us to think.
It is.
Yeah.
It most definitely is. It most definitely is getting us to think. And I would have to say personally, if I was a being from an extraterrestrial place, I would definitely, you know, put some crop circles down to get people simply to think. Mm-hmm. That's it, just to get them to think
and imagine and care and feel and, you know, explore mystery.
Right.
The magic of mystery. You know, without mystery, and Albert Einstein said that, you know, that it's all about mystery. I don't have the quote right in front of me.
Right.
Yeah, you've got to have mystery.
Right. And something else that I've heard before regarding crop circles and the human consciousness is when an individual for example, right now, listeners, I'm in the studio and there's a blown up picture of this crop circle, the one that I so attempted to explain to you. But the theory behind it is when I'm looking at this crop circle right now, when I'm on the radio with you guys and I'm talking, my conscious mind is not picking up the full kind of registration of what this means to me.
But does it help you? Is your mind feeling a little expanded as you look at it?
Oh, it most definitely is.
Out of the left brain into the right brain?
It most definitely is. And I'm thinking that it even, you know, it even will register something within, you know, our blueprint to really get us to plant a seed when we don't even know it. You know, we actually have another caller on the air. We're going to take this for one moment. How you doing? You're live on the air. Dave's Good Vibration Station. We're talking with Sean Randall. Who are we speaking to?
My name's Aruna.
How you doing, Aruna?
Hi.
What can we help you with today?
Well, I'm actually wanting to ask Sean a question.
Please.
Go ahead.
Oh.
You know what? If you turn off, I think you have to turn off your radio and.
Yes. Yes, if you if you don't mind just turning the radio off in the background.
Okay, yes, I know, it's a bit confusing.
No problem.
So should I just ask the question and then it obviously won't go directly to Sean right now?
Yes, it will. I hear it. I'm hearing it right now.
Yes.
Is this Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm on.
You're on.
Hello, Sean. It's Aruna.
Yes. Hello. What's your question?
Hello. Oh, what a fabulous show. And this is so great that it's, you know, being aired. But, Sean, I'd love you to talk a bit about your tour that you have with, you know, every year I think you take a tour of people to England. And what's it involved? I mean, is it available for the public to actually join, or is it specifically for certain people?
Well, it's available to the public, certainly so. You can check it out, and also a short video produced by Wizard Entertainment that's on my website, and that's www.seanrandall.com, SHAWNRANDALL.com. And you can read all about my crop circle tour. We focus a little bit on the meditative aspect of it, what I've been talking about today, the interconnectedness in consciousness. And we sort of reach out to make that link and feel the mystery, feel the magic, and find that connectedness. And then sometimes we do night watches to see what we can see in the sky.
That's so fun.
We've seen some things, that's for sure. And my tour is a little bit more focused on the right brain aspect of things than the left, just to sort of oversimplify it. And
yes,
we go into
yes.
crop circles, we meditate in them, we channel our higher selves, we connect to higher consciousness, and it's a tangible way of feeling higher consciousness as well as connecting within the mind.
So oh, that sounds so fabulous. Oh, my God, I'd love to go.
It's so much fun.
So are you? Do you then kind of wait for them to appear? I mean, is that what happens?
Sure. Well, they're there.
On the network.
Yes, there's research. Of course, we look for them too. But yeah, there's all that research of where are they, and they are plentiful in England. So we sometimes, well, I have some crop circle days and tours where we've gone to 3 or 4 a day.
Wow.
3 or 4 different ones a day.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
So your mind gets blown after that. It's like a little bit of overwhelm. So I'm going to slow it down this summer.
Yes, probably pretty good exercise walking around in them too.
Yes.
I mean, that must be awesome to actually walk around in them.
Yes, the fields are amazing. We go to Stonehenge and look at some of there's an interesting link between the sacred sites and crop circles. Crop circles tend to appear around very ancient and sacred sites, and that seems to be a global quality and characteristic as well.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right.
Part of the mystery.
I've heard that as well. They come around very ancient sites and. Oh yes, absolutely. Hello.
Hello.
Are you still with us?
Thanks for calling. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. No, great to hear you on. Thank you so much for airing this. Okay. Bye bye.
Absolutely.
Now.
Thank you so much for calling in. We send you unconditional love. Sean, would you? Would that be okay? It looks like we have a very limited amount of time. I was wondering if we were. Listeners, we were talking about possibly bringing in Torah, and
do we have time?
I don't know if we do have time.
Okay.
Which is
We have other things we can talk.
We
about.
Do have other things, just because
I can read to you some things that Torah has said.
That would be
that
wonderful
might be
because
fast.
I mean it's. I was hoping, I was keeping my fingers crossed and hoping, and I know that the listeners were hoping too that we could bring in Torah, but the clock it runs. The clock runs when...
Okay, let me read to you what some of the things are that Torah has said. This is direct transcription.
Okay, please.
Crop circle co-creation.
Okay.
That means where human consciousness and the circle makers come together over a design in some way, even
okay.
if it's in a very generalized way.
Right.
Crop circle co-creation is a very beautiful metaphor for the change, the stretch, the inclusion of a greater paradigm.
Okay.
And, of course, the shift that is happening on the planet. So crop circle co-creation is part of that. It's an opportunity to interact with the consciousness shift within humanity. It's an opportunity to interact with and be a part of that consciousness shift. You're aware that you create your own reality.
Right.
Going one step further to the subject of co-creation with other or mysterious forces is so much more than the subject of creating your own reality. It includes a kind of humility and willingness for things to be new. Co-creation includes a very special kind of openness. Openness to the mystery, openness to the unknown. This is why a lot of people like to shy away from the idea of co-creation. There's
right.
a discomfort with the unknown.
There is. There is indeed.
I'm trying to jump ahead. there is some sharing at the level of the collective unconscious.
Right.
And we can say that what humanity holds in its collective unconscious is a little more conscious to the artists of wisdom.
Okay.
Which is what, that's a term that Torah calls the crop circle makers.
The crop circle makers.
He calls them artists of wisdom.
Artists, I love that.
Isn't that nice?
I love that.
He says they are a little more conscious of their unconscious.
They're a little more conscious of
their
unconscious
than we are.
That's good.
And by and large, humanity is discovering how to make what is in the collective unconscious more conscious. And the artists of wisdom, the crop circle makers, are more in touch with that.
Right.
Remember intention and purpose for improving and uplifting humanity and assuring continuity of the resources of planet Earth. But when you remember, then one finds there is a sense of substance to these endeavors.
Right.
And to the endeavors of the crop circles. I'm sorry.
Please. That is quite all
right. Crop circles are heralding and they are harbingers of great change.
They are.
That have already begun. It's not that they're bringing the change. They're simply expressing it. By expressing the change, crop circles are able to focus on us on the change.
Right.
Or focus humanity on the change. Think about the change. Contemplate it. Ponder the shift in dimensionality and the new paradigm of perception.
Right.
Crop circles can help people to focus on a new way of approaching quantum thought and quantum theory.
Right.
Crop circles can help people to focus upon contemplation of many things. Mathematical, alchemical, archetypical, mythic, historic, philosophic, and even future technology.
I almost want to say that that crop circles, they are one of the leading seeds being planted mm-hmm. in the human consciousness. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of the leading seeds. We have time for maybe one more. Do one more of one more sentence or so.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Wow. I have so many wonderful.
I know there's just so many to choose.
But you know, what if I read a very brief poem I wrote?
Okay.
You know, Nancy asked
and we'll close.
Personal experiences.
Yeah, please, please.
Here's one, very short, that I wrote right after spending hours and even going to sleep in a crop circle on a sunny
wow.
day.
Wow, that's amazing.
The golden carpet's plush lushness beckons. See me, lie on me, spin with me. Ponder me, laugh with me, dance with my dreams, cuddle up in my nurturing nests, and embrace your allness.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's the feeling of being in a crop circle.
Yeah, I could only imagine.
They're talking to you that way.
I could only imagine. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Sean, such a blessing. Such a blessing. And make sure to check out SeanRandall.com, SeanRandall.com. And once again, this is such a wonderful episode of Dave's Good Vibration Station. We love you. We send you infinite amounts of unconditional love, light, appreciation, laughter, and everything in between. Make sure to like us on Facebook. That's Facebook and search engine Dave's Vibration Station. We love you guys and you have a wonderful Sunday. Bye bye. Who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity. Floating in the golden lotus, that's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. You're so nosy, this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your wordsmith. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. In all the silly games like we'll be used to play and see. How fast we can smoke out of roar and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had sacks and dimes, we got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine.
when we used to chill at Mom's, get drunk and blaze. But I guess that was just another phase, like selling X or getting late. But now I have to work to get paid. Not that money really matters in this life, I mean, right? Not that money really matters in this life. Not that money really matters in this life. Not that money really matters in this life.